So anyway, I'm here by the grace of God. I appreciate James and the church for having this opportunity. This church is a blessing. Our church is out there, Charity Bible Church, is out in the country in Hamptonville. And we got about 100 people, but about 60 to 70, you know, 10. So we know what it's like to have a small church, but I just have a small church that preaches the gospel, the blood, the shed blood of Christ, and you're saved by God's grace, and a King James Bible is the Word of God. It ain't contained, it is the Word of God. I praise the Lord for this church, and I try to come by on Sundays now and then, visit, encourage you any way I can, and I just thank the Lord for the opportunity tonight to get to preach to you. I'm a preacher and a teacher. I got a Bible class on Tuesday night, and my group's back there, and I appreciate them coming tonight, and my wife, she's faithful. When you try to raise 3 small kids and going to nursing school, it ain't easy, and I appreciate her. She's from day one encouraged me in the ministry. She's a very great blessing to me and all my brothers back there in this church, like I said. But we're going to get on with it. But first of all, before I hear, like to hear a man preach, I like to hear his testimony. So some of y'all heard my testimony, so you're going to hear it again. If you, March 11, 1990, just 2 years before you. I guess I'm a couple years older than you, so... I was going to Taylorsville. I run a route, matter of fact, a Coca-Cola route. I was heading to Taylorsville. One of my friends pulled me on the side of the road, and he worked for Rental Uniform, and he shared the gospel with me. And this boy was wild like me, chased girls, drink. Let's not act like I'm holier than thou. I was a wild buck. Never did drugs, but I drank, chased girls, and he did too. And that's what really hit me, that when he got saved and gave his testimony, boy, it was like a knife stabbed him. He said, Alan, guess what? He said, I got saved. I said, you did? He said, yeah. And he went in detail that Christ died for his sins, and he trusted in the finished work. And, man, it's like a knife stuck in my chest. Like, I got in my Coca-Cola truck real quiet and ride down the road. I'm lost. I ain't never had that experience. I'm going to die and go to hell. And that was all that was on my mind that Tuesday afternoon when he shared the gospel with me till Sunday. And I went to church with my girlfriend that time and heard the gospel again. And, man, I was so under conviction. I mean, in my mind, I felt like if I didn't get saved, I was just going to fall off into hell right then and there. And on March 11, 1990, on the Sunday morning, noonday, so like old Paul would, I didn't get knocked down off the horse. I got knocked off my pride right there on the, would be on my left side, knelt down as a rotten, stinking sinner and trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Never got over it. It's getting ready to be 20 years this coming March. Lord called me November 8th of 97 to be 12 years preaching. Is coming up, and my mom got saved. And you're talking about exciting, you're talking about love once. I prayed for my mom for years and years and years, and it always touches me. God called me that day, and I was at a Bible conference, and she got saved at the same conference. So, and my brother's saved, and my dad's not. I want y'all to pray for my father. My father, I've been sharing the gospel years and years, and it's just, he's got a hard heart, I guess. He just thinks he's done so bad, you know, he can't be saved. I said, Lord, I said, Dad, Paul was killing Christians. The Lord saved him by his grace, so you can be saved. So y'all pray for him. He went to church with me for 2 years, sat under conviction, never got saved. So, you know, he's a heartbeat. Had a heart attack a few years ago and said, Dad, you're a heartbeat from hell. And for Father's Day and for Christmas, you know what I hand him? CDs. I don't buy him, so I want him to get saved. That's the most important. And if you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, today's a good day. All you got to realize is that you're lost. And that you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for all your sins, buried and rose again the third day for your justification. And it's the most simplest thing you can do. Folks, I've seen so-called preachers get saved. I wish my friend was here. He went to Danny Castle's church, and he preached for a while, lost. And he came to our church, and I wish he was here. He said he was going to try to be here tonight. It's Greg. And he got saved December the 5th of... 99, I remember it just like it's yesterday. My friends are close to me, and my family members are right on me in my Bible. And if he was here, he'd give his testimony, but he preached lost. So, folks, I've seen deacons get saved. I've seen preachers get saved. I've seen all kinds of people in my last 20 years being saved and 12 years in the ministry get saved. So, I was at a Pope's church a couple of Saturdays ago, and his deacon got saved. So, God's in the saving business. So, it's never been a time. It's got to be a time. You might not remember the date, but you remember where you were when you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And if you don't, guess what? You're lost. And that's the hardest thing to admit. I found out religious people, Christians, so-called It's the hardest thing for them to swallow their pride and trust Christ your Lord and Savior. I found it's easier to talk to drunks than it is to religious people. You know that. And it's got to be a time and a place. And then, like I say, it's the greatest thing that you'll ever do. People say, well, I don't have a time. I don't have a place. It's sort of like marriage. It'd be like me and my wife getting married and say, you've been married? Well, I don't know. Maybe so. Think so. It's a no-so. I might not remember the date because I'm getting old. My mind's going, and maybe 20, 30 years from now I might not remember. But I remember it's a time and a place when me and Julie got saved. And that's the same way the gospel is. There's got to be a time in your life as a sinner you trusted in the finished work of Christ. And that's it's so simple. And the world makes it so hard. They want to. We was talking about before we got started, talking about these people that belittle Christ. They said there's something they got to do, work for their salvation. You're talking about spitting in God's face. I think about Jesus Christ went to that cross, was beaten, spit upon, knocked down, and went to that cross for all them hours and died and bled for you. And there's something else you can do. That's spitting in God's face. It's by grace through faith plus nothing, no minus nothing. It's the finished work of Christ. And if you don't trust in that, God will put you in the bottom of hell, and you'll fry like my preacher said, like a sausage. And that's true. If you do not trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will die and up in hell. And you know whose fault it'll be? Your own, because this man preaches the gospel every time I've been here, and I'm preaching the gospel right now. If there's not a time in your life, trust him. Trust him right now. Simplest thing you can do. And I'm a preacher and a teacher, and I'm going to teach some. So I'm sharing the gospel. Get it out there. Everybody saved in here, so I guess everybody's saved. If you're not, trust Christ your Lord and Savior. Now we're going to get in a little doctrine and a little teaching. It's real simple. I'm just a country boy that believes this Bible. And when we say we believe the King James Bible, I mean what it says, who it says, and who it's saying it to. So we're going to look at some things. And this might be some things you never heard, but believe the Scriptures. Don't believe me. Believe these Scriptures. Because God's, just think of the men that died for this book. I ain't seen a man die for new NIV, RSV, and all them other Bibles. Them people suffered, bled, and died to get this book out. And God puts his word above his name. So he must think a lot about this King James Bible. You know that? And I talk to people all the time that belittle this book. And before we get started, I'll read something. I mean, y'all ain't got to turn there. If I find it, I'm folding my Bible down. In Psalms, it talked about, I'll just tell you, in Psalms it talks about the Lord, the God put all the stars out there, and he named every one of the stars. And you tell me that God can do that, and he can't get me an English-speaking Bible to the body of Christ, something's wrong. Well, this Bible might contain, or the NIV's easier to understand, or RSV's a better translation. No, them other Bibles take away the blood of Christ, the deity of Christ, to make Joseph his father, to make the morning star Satan in NIV, and over and over. So this book is precious. So you as members of the body of Christ, stand for this book. Because you know what? One day they're going to outlaw this book. It's coming. Yeah. We're going to suffer. You ain't seen something. One day they're going to outlaw this book. You know, and a lot of Christians out there could care less. They got all their other Bibles. But people that love this book, stand on it. It's a precious book. And you know what? I got so much stuff going on in my head I want to teach on. But the faith of Christ. Look up the word faith of Christ. It's the only book that teaches the faith of Christ. You know all them other Bibles? Faith in Christ. There's a difference. Faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is when Christ went to that cross by faith and died for sinners. He went there by faith knowing that God would put him through all that, bury him. He'd raise him from the dead. That's called the faith of Christ. You can look it up in Galatians, Philippians. Go home and study that. But the faith of Christ is only mentioned in the King James Bible. And it's just little things like that. Like little words. When you take away from words of this Bible, it means a lot. Like my preacher says, he said, would you like to be by the fire or in the fire if you was warm? I'd just be by the fire. Just changing words. And people say, well, it's just changing little words. Well, when you change words, you change meaning. And this King James Bible is a blessing to me. I believe in the blood of Tom. I'm a grace believer. I'm not a Baptist, but I love my Baptist brethren. I'm just a grace preacher. Saved by grace. I believe the King James Bible is the word of God, the virgin birth, the rapture. Me and him agree. 99 point. Me and him agree more than most Baptists agree with him. Now to rightly divide the word of truth, and we're going to look at some things. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, if you consider what your apostle Paul says, and you know what? It says right there, if you consider what he says, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, all this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I believe with all my heart. But it was not all written to me as a member of the body of Christ. I can't keep the law. Somebody divides this Bible. I'll rightly divide the word of truth, and I'm going to show you a little bit tonight. But all the Bible is for my admonition to learn, but all of it's not written to me doctrine. I can't go under the Old Testament, and I right now be breaking the law. Divers, I mean, back then you couldn't sew divers. I mean, you'd have different clothes. They'd all have to be 100% cotton, like you farmers out here. You couldn't farm. You couldn't put tomatoes and corn together. You had to separate it. So we're not under the law. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God. And dispensation, like I say, ain't a nasty word. His brother knows all about the dispensation of the grace of God. And it's mentioned four times in Paul's epistles, and we're going to look at some things. But it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding all things. Go, just keep your hand there. We're getting ready to come back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's go to verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be what? Ignorant. So Paul's saying, hey, if you want to be spiritual, I wrote 13 books to the body of Christ, of which are the commandments to the Lord. And say, well, Paul wrote Hebrews. You know, if you want to believe that, that's fine. But let me show you one quick reason why I think Paul didn't write Hebrews, and you can discuss, but I'm just going to show you Scripture. 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians, and there's other. I can't get into all the doctrine things tonight, but go to 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to show you this verse, and then you can decide for yourself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, I turn a lot of Scriptures. That's how you learn your Bible, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which the token of every what? Epistle, so I write. If you go to Paul's epistles, every one of them, from Romans to Philemon, it starts out with what? Paul. Paul, Corinthians, Ephesians, Paul. Check it out. Every one of them, he says, so every epistle, a token. Of course, like when we write letters, guess what? If I wrote James' letter, guess where my token would be? Back in the old days, it started out at the front. Now, somewhere down the line, it's changed. I'd write, Dear Brother Alan Bradley. My token would be at the end of it. But Paul's token was at the beginning. And every one of his epistles started out with Paul. In Hebrews, like I say, if you study it, now I do know Hebrews, a man knew Paul. And it's probably Barnabas. I mean, everybody debated about who wrote it. Somebody knew Paul. And some of those sayings are like Paul. But I think Paul wrote 13 books to the body of Christ. But, you know, you can debate it, whatever. But there's reasons. And that was one of them. It's a token. I couldn't see Paul writing 13 letters and all of a sudden write God. In Hebrews it starts out God, but it don't say Paul. And another thing, he's a rebellious Jew. And guess what the number of rebellious is? 13. My son turned 13. I know about rebellion. So 13 is a lot. And if you check out in the King James Bible, the number 13 is rebellion. If you study your scriptures, you can see the 13, chapter 13. I watched Sam do it on the radio one time. He did a numbers thing, and it was really good on the numbers, how this, and only King James Bibles lined up numerical order about things. But anyway, let's get on with it. Go to 2 Timothy, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. Verse 1, it says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witness the same, commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So I know from the Apostle Paul down, it's committed to faithful men. I didn't go to school to get a doctrine. I've had faithful pastors and preachers teach me, and that's sort of the way it works. I've had Brother Moore taught my pastor. Brother Moore's been preaching 51 years. He taught my pastor. He's been preaching 40. And here I am preaching 12, and it's faithful men passing the doctrine on. There's nothing wrong with school, but when school goes against this King James Bible, junk your school. Because the King James Bible is always right, and them schools, I know guys went and got their doctors ready, come back rejecting the Word of God, the blood atonement, and just forget everything they've ever learned fundamental. And I'm a fundamental Bible-believing teacher. I believe in the birth. I believe in the virgin birth, the blood of Christ, the atonement, the rapture, all the things you do. And when you go off to school, they dummy them up. And you know about it. And they'll come back and just be as... But faithful men, Sam taught you. I wonder who taught him. There's another man. And that's the way it is. Faithful men teaches others. And every time I've studied in the scriptures about how Paul, He taught a man, usually a man went with him for 3 years, and he taught him, and he got him rooted, and then the Lord calls him, and then he goes preaches. And guess what? He finds faithful men. I got some faithful men out here tonight. You teach them, and guess what they do? They go teach others, and that's the way your Bible's laid out. And these things, verse 2, and these things thou hast heard among many, witness the same, commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. There, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warfareth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for marriage, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband labors must be the first partakers of fruit. And here's my verse. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. Paul calls it my gospel. Let's look at a few more things. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Brother, you just have to say stop. I got a lot going on in my head. What time we got? Romans chapter 2, verse 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to what? My gospel. There it is the second time. One more. Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25 says, now to him that is the power established according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which kept secret since the world began. Verse 20, now to him that prepared my gospel. That's three times Paul calls it my gospel. So he has a gospel that he's very proud of, isn't he? He's calling it my gospel. Let's go to Romans chapter 1:16. Well, this gospel is going to preach. Look what it's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And a lot of you can quote it. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation. You know, it's power in the gospel. You know, people can be saved with the gospel. People always want healings and miracles. You know, the greatest power there is in the body of Christ today is that gospel. Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again. You can take a rotten, stinking sinner like me and change his life through the gospel and yourself and others. I mean, I've watched people be drunks and whores and harlots, and they hear the glorious gospel that Christ died for their sins, buried and rose again, and changed their whole life. Religion will not change your life. The gospel will change your life, and it's the power of God. I'm not the power. I'm just a messenger. Guess what? The message I got for you is powerful. What is it? Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again. That's the greatest message a man can preach. And guess what? On the radio and TV, guess what we hear? Less and less of it. We're living in dark ages, folks. They want to tickle your ears. They want to tell you sweet stories. They want to tell you how good you are. You know what the Bible says? There's none good, no, not one. Nobody wants to tell nobody they're no good no more. They want to tell you how sweet you are and how pretty you are. And if you be good, you get to heaven. Or if you keep the law, you get, nope, you're no good. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. And Jesus Christ went to that cross to keep us out of hell and died for all our sins. That's the power of God unto salvation. Nothing else. That's powerful. That's the gospel. Look right here in Galatians chapter 1. See what he says about the gospel. And this is a simple lesson. We're keeping it simple, but it's important. Y'all establishing the gospel, and I thank the world this man, he preaches the gospel. I told him we'll go street preaching as soon as he's ready. He says when it cools down. So it's cool now. We need to get out there and share the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Says, but I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached to me is not after what? Man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you know Paul didn't get it from James or the 12 or none of that? Who did he get it from? Jesus Christ. Look right up here and see how powerful the gospel is and how important it was to Paul. Look in verse 7, which is, let's go to verse 6, chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you to the God, into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. If anybody comes preaching another gospel, says let him be accursed. That's why it's so important for preachers that are called to preach. There's so many preachers out there that are not called to preach. But the preachers out there to call, get on the right gospel. Paul calls it my gospel. Christ died for our sins, buried, and rose again. The third, we're going to get to it. But he says, let them be accursed. If you go out here and tell somebody that they got to do something, keep the law, guess what that man's doing to himself and to his congregation? Cursing them. They're cursed. and just turn off a deaf ear, turn off your channel, turn off radio. If they're preaching anything else except the finished work of Christ, turn off your TV. You're just wasting your time. And they're going to be accursed. And if they're trusting that, they're going to end up in hell. And what's so sad, they're the ones that get the big crowds, and they don't preach the gospel, and they're dying and going to hell, and then people are going to hell with them. And that's what's so sad to me. It breaks my heart that that old whatever, little skinny dude's got the basketball team, I mean the basketball stadium full of people, and telling them sweet little stories about how to be a better me. What's his name? You know, there you go. That was cold, wasn't it? But Joel's thing. And he's got all them thousands of people. And why? You know what? If me or James got him to preach the glorious gospel, guess what? That crowd would go. And that's the way it is. That's why we got little crowds here. That's why we got little crowds in the church and other places. Because we get up here and preach the gospel. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. They want to hear little stories and itchy ears. Like I say, and tell you how good you are. But I'm not telling you no good. You're no good. I'm no good. We need a Savior. Well, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians. I mentioned it 40 times already. So 1 Corinthians. You want to show somebody. You want to take them to your Bible and show them what the glorious gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And this is where I take people all the time. If you want somebody saved, here you go. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he is buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that Paul said he received it, did he not? He received the gospel. Jesus Christ said, hey, Paul, I died for you, and he received it. And that's what we should be out here doing. You know, it's great to have church here, but you know where the ministry is? Outside them walls. And if you don't share it, with, like he said, with your loved ones or your family members, they're going to die and go to hell. And that'd be a pitiful testimony that they're sitting there burning in hell looking at you. Hey, you were saved. Why didn't you bother to tell me? That's why I try to make it a point to let everybody in my family have family reunion. Here comes Alan. I'm going to share the gospel with them. It's a lot of things I might not do well, but sharing the gospel is one that I will share with anybody, anytime, any place. God, I learned a mistake years ago, one time, and the Lord showed me, told me to witness to a boy. He was at a gas station, and I said, Lord, I'll do it later. And the next day, he ran under a tractor trailer and was dead. And I told the Lord, I'll never, ever, I don't care if it's the President of the United States, if you put on my heart to witness somebody, I'll go witness to a stop sign. I just always been bold enough. But it's God working in me. It ain't Alan Bradley. God in me. But it taught me a very valuable lesson as a young man when I was saved that I didn't witness. He could have been saved, and God just showed me, hey, how important it is to witness when I put them on your heart. And like I say, the fellow went up under a tractor trailer and was dead. I said, Lord, I promise if you ever open up a door, I will always share the gospel with whoever he lays on my heart. And there's a lot of you. I mean, a lot of you be in hell right now. Somebody ain't caring love and go share the gospel to you. I'm sure some of you in here right now, somebody's knocked on your door and said, hey, can I sit down and share the gospel? You don't have to be a preacher, share the gospel. You know what the greatest ministry is? Your testimony. Amen. And if you don't have a testimony, guess what? You're lost. You can have a testimony tonight. You can trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, tonight and walk out them doors. And the next day you can say, hey, I got saved tonight. I trust your Christ, my Lord and Savior. And if you are saved, you know what? Give it to somebody. Share it with them. It don't. Hey, we talk about ball games. I bet you can sit around and talk about the Panthers till you're blue in the face. And I know it's the old flesh don't want to. It gets nervous. Your heart goes, well, that's the way it goes. There it goes. But your whole heart does like that pitter-patter. And I know it's hard to share the gospel. I'm a preacher. I do this all the time, but it's not easy. I know it's not. But you know what? You could keep a friend or a family member out of hell by just saying, hey, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says, you know, one day we're going to give an account either at the judgment seat of Christ or white throne judgment. You don't be at the white throne judgment. But, you know, everybody, like you said, everybody's going to die and be appointed unto death. And trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, and share it with somebody. So we got the gospel. It's the most important. Well, look what Paul says. He says, follow me. Now, I don't follow Paul around in the boat. But doctrinally speaking, in his 13 epistles, doctrinally, he says, follow him. Looking first, he's got 10 or 15 minutes. Go to Romans chapter 11. I'll try to put them in order where we can go through them real quick. Romans chapter 11. Now, I don't worship Paul, just like Israel didn't worship Moses. But guess what? Moses gave the law, did he not? Well, Paul's given the dispensation of grace and he's laying it out for the body of Christ. Look in Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles as much as I am the what? The apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Folks, we're Gentiles, we're not Jews. Paul says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Let's try it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I put them in order where we can just thumb through them right quick. And I'm just trying to lay a groundwork tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have I many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the what? Gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause I have said unto you, Timotheus, unto my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of all my what? Ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Let's try again. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Last one. So Paul said, be followers of me, doctrinally. Not like I say, follow him on a boat or shave your head. Some of the things Paul did in his ministry we can't do. But doctrinally speaking, we can follow the Apostle Paul doctrinally. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. It says, whereunto I'm ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles, faith and verity. Paul says, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. We're all Gentiles. He says, I got the gospel, my gospel. Christ died for our sins. He said, be ye followers of me. It's doctrine. Like I said, he wrote 13 books to the body of Christ, and he laid it out, and it's simple. Guess where you run to when you want to find out security and salvation? Paul's doctrine. We're sealed until the day of redemption. You get over there in that kingdom, get fooling around, guess where the Church of Christ takes you every time? Hebrews. Matthew, he that endured the end. Revelation, he that overcometh. The body of Christ is sealed until the day of redemption. We're sealed. We're secure. We're in that body if you trust Christ your Lord and Savior. But outside them books, if you ain't careful, they'll trip you up. They'll say, you got to endure to the end. You got to do this. You got to do that for salvation. And they don't like messing with Paul's epistles. And I take them every time and say, hey, I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I couldn't get lost if I wanted to after you've trusted Christ. He's the one that seals you. If he seals you, it's like a jar. You know, you put stuff in it and it's sealed. Well, guess what? It ain't getting out till it breaks. And guess when we're gonna break out of here one day? The rapture. He's going to change our vile body, fashioned like his glorious body one day. And that nothing, you know, when he says nothing can separate you, life or death, or nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. We're sealed until the day of redemption. The greatest thing you like to say you ever do is trust Christ and be sealed. In Ephesians talks about being sealed. And in other books, you had to do things. They had to keep the law. And I'm not going to get out of that. I'll let James do that. but we're sealed. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's go to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and this is Paul right here, and this is what if you've never been saved, this pretty much wraps you in the same boat as Paul right here. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul said he was a blasphemer, you know. You know, back under the gospel of the kingdom, you couldn't be saved as a blasphemer. The third strike in Acts, check it out. You know, Israel blasphemed the Lord, God, the Father, forgave him. Number two, he blasphemed Jesus Christ, he forgave him. Guess what? Third strike, the Holy Spirit, you couldn't be forgiven. That's why I know Paul is a separate, disparate dispensation, because he was forgiven. Do you know that? Because right then, he says, I was a blasphemer. And Paul was saved by the dispensation of the grace of God. That's why Paul said, I neither received it of nobody, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there shows you it's different. Now watch this. In verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, who am I chief. Paul realized he's a chief sinner, did he not? Tonight, you got to realize you're a sinner to be saved. Paul said he was chief sinner and he was saved by the grace of God. That's the same way we all are. If you come into the cross, you've got to realize you're a sinner. You know, it's like going to a doctor. You don't need a doctor when you're not sick. Well, guess what? Ever since Adam fell, the world's sick. We have a sin nature. And guess what? Christ died for that sin nature. If you're trusting that finished work, you can be saved. Look right here. How be it for this cause, verse 16. How be it for this cause, I obtain mercy that in me what? First. Something about Paul was first at something. That obtain mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a what? Pattern. To them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul's a pattern, folks. If you're going to be saved today, you're going to be saved just like Paul was. Realizing you're a rotten, stinking sinner and you need a Savior. That's the way you're going to be. He's a pattern. And God's grace is pouring out to you right now. The only thing you've got to do is trust in that finished work and you can be sealed into the day of redemption. And Paul's a pattern. And he says he's an apostle and he says he has the gospel. And say, well, you put a lot of emphasis on Paul. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ must have put a lot of emphasis on Paul because he wrote 13 books to the body of Christ. Paul's just a sinner. God used him as a vessel. I don't worship Paul. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul was the instrument that was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Look right quick. I'm going to show you how he suffered. Paul suffered more than, well, he said he suffered more. Go to, like I say, we're going to wrap it up. Go to Timothy right quick. It'll come to my mind. Go to 2 Timothy. Might be first. Where is it? Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians. I had Timothy on the brain. Let me go to Ephesians. Sorry. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, for this call, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you what? Gentiles. Do you know Paul become a prisoner for people like me and you? It says it right there. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, how about revelation? He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Go down to verse 8. Unto me, who am last and least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created things by Jesus Christ. Paul was given a mystery. It's that out of worship of Gentile like me and you could be saved by God's grace. And it was hid in God. If Satan would have knew it, guess what? Satan wouldn't have done. In Romans, it talks about he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And it was hid in God that people like me and you, Gentiles, it could be saved by God's grace. And that's what the fellowship of mystery, and that's what all men, without extinction. You ain't got to bless Israel. You ain't got to do none of that. Black, white, green, yellow, Jews, Israel, anybody can be saved by God's grace right now. All men see what the fellowship of mystery. All men can be saved today without extinction. It don't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you've gone, who you've done. I don't care about all that. Jesus Christ died for all men's sins, and that's what it's all about. And he says, this calls out Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for Gentiles. He became a prisoner. He became a prisoner for us. And people just overlook these verses, run through them, and don't even think about how much that man suffered. Jesus Christ suffered for your sins. Paul suffered to get the message out about Jesus Christ dying for your sins. I don't uplift Paul, but I do appreciate him suffering to get the gospel out. And that's what Paul said, I suffer more than they all. You can read it all through there. It'd be great to take time to read Romans through Philemon and go verse by verse and really think on them and dwell on these things. God just didn't put this in here for just flying through it. You need to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word, rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to rightly divide your Bible. If you don't rightly divide your Bible, it won't make sense. You got to deal with God. Let God deal with Israel one way, the body of Christ one. One's called prophecy, one's called mystery. Paul talks about the mystery, the body of Christ, and you have to study and rightly divide the word of truth. And a few more things, and we'll call it a night. I'm going to show you one thing. The thing's different. This is why it's so important to rightly divide your Bible. Now watch this. Go to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll stop after this. Matthew chapter 19. It's a perfect. You know, people say, oh, I'd love to live back in Jesus' day. Well, let's see. See what Jesus would have thought about a Gentile. In Matthew chapter 15 first. Matthew chapter 15. This is a Gentile woman, and this is a woman that blessed Israel. And I'm going to show you what the Lord said to her. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. It said, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and saw him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Don't sound like he's being very gracious right here, is it? Well, watch this. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost house of what? Israel. Jesus at the time was sent to the lost house of Israel. He wasn't sent to Gentiles at that time. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. So, Gentile people are dogs, are they not in the scriptures? That's what he called her, a dog. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat for the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Back in the Old Testament, a Gentile, the way they could be saved is go through Israel and bless Israel and be in the covenants of promise and take their rightful place as a dog. But guess what? In the dispensation of grace, we don't have to do that. God's will to have all men saved and come into knowledge of truth. Look at one more verse, Matthew chapter 19. And I'm going to show you about salvation. This is why it's so important to rightly divide your Bible, because people's going to come to you. If you're in this ministry long enough, they're going to come to you with these questions, and I want you to have an answer for them. That's why it's so important to rightly divide your Bible. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a good question, isn't it? People want to know about eternal life. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that God. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in the heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possession. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Would you tell somebody in the dispensation of grace right now to keep the law to be saved? That's why it's so important to rightly divide your Bible. Paul's told a jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's why you have to rightly divide the word of truth. One more thing, and I keep saying, Colin, I'm about as bad as you. Sure ain't a Baptist. go with me to 2 Timothy. I get there myself. Yeah, it probably is, ain't it? Watch this. This is my last one. Chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. What I've taught you tonight is doctrine. People act like the word doctrine is a bad word. It's not. That's how you get established. God's will to have all men to be saved and what? And coming to the knowledge of truth. If you'll get rooted in doctrine, watch what happens. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Watch thou in all things, do affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. Folks, Paul says, keep sound doctrine. Keep the faith. If you want a crown, you got to know the faith to keep it. Last verse, Ephesians chapter, I'm sorry, gosh, you just chase rabbits. Ephesians chapter 4. This matches with that. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, even you're called in one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Paul just talked about the faith. It ain't the Methodist, ain't the Baptist, ain't the Presbyterian faith. It's the faith of Christ. That faith I talked about you earlier, he went to the cross and died for our sins. It's his faith. And the faith was the doctrine delivered to the Apostle Paul. And if you'll keep that faith and you'll learn about that faith and with sound doctrine, you will get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you don't, you won't. And that's why it says in go down to verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, into measure of stature of fullness of Christ. Why does God leave pastors, preachers, and teachers? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to see, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is ahead, even Christ. If you'll follow your apostle that the Lord sent you in the body of Christ, which is Paul, and you'll stand for that gospel, there's one gospel, Jesus Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again, and you'll do that, and you'll stand for it, and don't matter what the world says about you, they can call you all the names of the world, and you'll stand for it. At the judgment seat of Christ, you'll believe pleasing to the Lord. But if you worry about what men think about you and don't stand for that doctrine, then you're going to give an account to the Lord. And we'll see what he thinks about it. So I 20 years ago, I quit worrying about what men thought, especially 12 years ago since I'm preaching. I got to answer to one person, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the doctrine that I teach, I'm not looking forward to stupid things I've done in my flesh, but I am looking forward at the judgment seat of Christ, saying, hey, Lord, you left me an apostle that wrote 13 books. I stand for that truth. I believe the King James Bible, the virgin blood, the virgin birth, the blood of Christ, all that. I'm looking forward to standing for that truth. Now, things I've done in my flesh, I'm not looking for that. The terror, Lord, we persuade men. We've done a lot of dumb things in the flesh. But I am looking forward to standing for the truth. And I thank y'all for your time. Like I say, if you never trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, do it today. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. I promise you. I don't care if you've been in this church 50 years. If it's never been a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, do it. And after you're saved, study your Bible rightly divided, because people will come out there and show you verse after verse that you can lose your salvation, and you can't. You're secure in the Lord. I appreciate your time. Amen.